Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 495. And it's a bonus episode on the Friday. I'm joined here today by the amazing Mr. Lenny Rush. Me and Lenny's parents and representatives were going back and forth to try and line this up for a minute because I was so keen to talk to Lenny, but we have to get it in around school schedule, filming schedules, all sorts of things like that, because this kid's just astounding. Like, he's smashing it on stage and screen, and he's doing all his school business, and he's being a loving brother and family member and an amazing role model to so many children and adults with disabilities. And that all comes across in this conversation, man, I'm telling you. So as this is a bonus episode, I'm not going to ramble on too long at the start because I want you to just get your teeth into it. We're brought to you as ever by speechdevelopmentrecords.com. That's where you can buy my merch. Patreon.com/ScroobiusPip is where you can support the podcast for $1 a month. And twitch.tv/ScroobiusPipYo is where I play computer games. I make little short films. I do watch-alongs. I chat with you guys. I do Q&As, all sorts of stuff. You can head over there. It's all free. All you need to do is download the Twitch app. But for now, this is episode 495 of the Distraction Pieces podcast with the legend, Mr. Lenny Rush. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. Right, I'm here today with Lenny Rush. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Are you?
I'm good. It's been a bit of a year for you, isn't it?
It's been
an amazing year. So just as a general starting point, how's it all been? Because I'd imagine you're starting to get recognised more and just, yeah.
Yeah, it's been surreal. Yeah, I've been recognised a few times when I go out.
Yeah.
And it's weird for people to know who I am and I don't know them. It feels a bit weird.
Yeah. It's a weird disbalance, isn't it? You're a fellow Essex boy. Have you been enjoying the snow and the recent weather?
See, the thing is, there was snow everywhere around us apart from where I live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I went to Chelmsford the other day. And there was a bit there, and it was a bit weird because we're not that far from Chelmsford, but it was covered.
Yeah, it's very specific, isn't it, I guess.
Yeah.
As we record this, this will be coming out in the new year, but we've got a Christmas just around the corner. Are you excited for Christmas? Are you off school now? Have you finished? Are you pleased to be off?
Yeah, I finished school Friday, and I'm very happy about that, yeah.
Yeah,
and I can't wait for Christmas. I love Christmas. It's the best time of year.
Yeah, I agree. It's wonderful. Well, I want to talk a little bit about how you find balancing your acting career and your school life, because it can't be easy as you're getting busier and busier. How do you find that balancing act? Because how old are you now? You're 13?
I'm 13, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you're on set, you have a tutor and things.
Right.
So the actual learning aspect is okay, but sometimes going back to school, after I've been filming for a period of months, it can be, like, even things, you know, like, putting your hand up to go to the toilet, that sounds so, but, like, things that you had to do when you're on set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to get used to all that again.
Yeah, exactly.
And what do you enjoy at school? Is acting the main thing, acting and drama, or are there other things at school you really enjoy?
Yeah, I do enjoy drama. I started getting into music tech, which is actually I like podcasting. I made my own podcast. I'm into the supernatural stuff, like ghosts and stuff. Anything like that, I really enjoy. And I made a podcast on that for school.
Amazing.
That
sounds fantastic. Well, if you ever decide to do any more podcasting, reach out if I can help with anything.
That'd be great. Thank you.
That sounds great fun. How do you find your experiences on set? Because I think it's really interesting because my goddaughter is your age and I got her her first acting job on a thing I was doing with Netflix recently. And I always think for youngsters, or for everyone actually, your first one or two acting jobs, you find out if you love this or hate it, because there's a lot of waiting around. It's a lot of stop start. It's not necessarily what you'd imagine the TV and film industry to be. So how do you find all that element of it all?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I bring like games and stuff. Especially, I did a show, The Dumping Ground, the CBBC show. I did that last year now, and we were in a hotel, so I brought my PlayStation and that.
Perfect.
Things like that. And sometimes, like, especially at the theatre, I used to bring a lot of board games. And you play that, like, in between going on the stage. And, it's okay. But, yeah, there's a lot of the waiting game.
I love your calmness here. I can imagine all these grown-up older actors all being stressed and feeling the pressure and looking around and you're playing board games and on your PlayStation. we'll go on in a minute. It'll be fine.
You know what? It's got to relax, eh?
Exactly. Or I heard a really good bit of advice for actors, and it was reminding them that these things originally are called a play because we're meant to be playing. It's meant to be enjoyable. It shouldn't be all this stressful pressure thing. So, yeah, are you good at finding the fun in it all, I guess?
I don't know if it's because I'm a kid though. I don't know if when I'm older I'll be a bit like, oh. But I absolutely love it at the moment.
Keep that outlook as long as you can. What was your route into acting then? Because you've done a bit on stage, as you say, and as well as TV. So what came first, and what was your, like, how did you get into it?
First, it was a documentary that Mum signed us up for, for CBeebies. It was called Our Family.
Yeah.
And it was just about how different families get along in everyday life. So the difference in mine was, obviously, I'm smaller and I'm the oldest, and I've got my younger brother is taller. And it's about how sometimes, like, we switch roles. Like, you know, maybe I might use him to get the occasional cookie down from the top shelf and things like that. But yeah, it's just about, like, it was just about different families and how we get along. And it was really good, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And then did that lead to wanting to act and be on stage, or was there more TV?
Yeah, I was only focused on the filming aspect.
Yeah.
I ended up going to the Old Vic, and that was really good.
That's amazing, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I think it first started actually when I used to like, you know, Warwick Davies? He's the other little actor. And he was a big inspiration for me. Yeah, I used to watch him a lot, and yeah.
I love it. And again, I've read interviews with you about, because for listeners who don't know, you've got spondyloepiphyseal dysplasia, right?
Yeah.
And I don't like to refer to it as your disability, because like I have a stammer, and I feel most of the things I've done in my career, I wouldn't have done if I didn't have a stammer. And I know with, like, the first thing I saw you in was A Christmas Carol, and they were casting for children who have disabilities. So, and again, a TV show like that, the documentary you did, that was part of it. So it's your attitude towards it that you're using to an advantage of anything, rather than it being a disability and this thing that's holding you back.
Exactly. That's the thing. I think a lot of people, when they hear the word disability, they really think of the dis. And it really isn't, you know. Like you said, I've done so much because of it. And without it, I might not be here talking to you right now, you know what I mean?
I
think I'm quite grateful for it. And of course, it does hold its challenges. But I do, genuinely, I think there's more positives than negatives.
I love it. And so how was it to work on A Christmas Carol? Because that was the Stephen Knight production for the BBC, and Stephen did Peaky Blinders, a show I was in called Taboo. So I kind of know how big and amazing and grand those sets and productions are. That must have been an insane one to be part of, particularly as, like, one of your first things.
Yeah, I mean, I went from children's TV, like the very young ones, to like from the nursery to that, and it was crazy. I mean, seeing all like the actors and that. I mean, I met Stephen Graham, and I really liked him, and I watched using like Pirates of the Caribbean and stuff.
Yeah.
It was just surreal.
And did you still feel like relaxed and everything, or did you feel any extra pressure? Because when you're doing kids' TV, you're a kid, so it's kids' TV. You know the audience, you know how it works. But as you say, when you're then on with Stephen Graham and all these other legends of acting, did you feel any pressure there?
Yeah, I do. I think I did. But like, I think once I got into it, you start to chill out more. And I think it's because I genuinely think the thing that made me pressure up was all these big stars. And like, it was, yeah, I think I was a bit shocked.
Yeah, I love it. And it came out fantastic. I think it's, I mean, other than the Muppets Christmas Carol, it's my favourite version of the Christmas Carol.
You can't beat the Muppets, to be fair.
you can't beat the Muppets. Well, I'm going to skip forward a little bit because I also want to talk about Dodger shortly, but you really came to my attention in Am I Being Unreasonable, which I just thought was an amazing TV show. Daisy's amazing and always has been. So how was that to be part of? And can you tell me a bit about the casting? Because I understand it was quite loosely written, that the character wasn't, that they weren't, unlike A Christmas Carol, that they weren't specifically casting disabled actors or anything like that. So how did that all come about?
I was filming Dodger at the time, the series one, in Manchester. And we got it through, like, with Lenny, like, to take for the role of Ollie, and I've been unreasonable. And then I saw that Daisy May Cooper was part of it. And that was because me and my dad, we watched This Country.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So I went through it, and then I went through, they had, like, another round of it. So I did a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
And then I think I had another tape after that, and then that's when I got the role. But, yeah, it was... Honestly, that show has opened up so many doors for me, I think. And, you know, it's just made my life so different. And like you said, like the past few months, it's just changed.
Yeah, I love it. And when you're looking at scripts and roles and characters, like, it can be daunting and overwhelming, but it jumps out when they're that well written, right? Because it felt like the characters, all the characters in that show at points are shown in a good light and at points are shown in a bad light. No one is just here's the good person, here's the person you're meant to like, here's the person you're meant to dislike. It's really, there's layers throughout. So does that excite you as an actor?
Yeah, I love that. And especially because I think at one point you feel sorry for all the characters, for at least one point.
Yeah.
Because obviously you sort of, you know, Alex, you know, he did, the one that died, and you feel sorry for him, and then at the end it turns out he wasn't the nicest. I think it was very cleverly written.
Yeah, it's amazing. And how was it to, because I know Daisy works a lot with, or is open a lot to improvisation, how was the looseness of the script and the dialogue, and how much improvisation did you get to do, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just saying this, but I genuinely think that there was at least a little bit of improv in every scene that I've done. Like, even if that's just a little bit going off script, or it's just, or doing something. I think the improv, it made it look much more realistic. And I think, the show came out so well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, had you done much that was kind of set now? Because period pieces like A Christmas Carol are very different, and I think the fact that this was set now, and as you say, there was so much improvisation, it just makes it feel so real and so natural, you know.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask about with Am I Being Unreasonable was, how was it to have as a, you know, probably at the time 11 or 12 year old, how was it to have free rein to swear in front of grown-ups, in front of parents, in front of everyone?
That's the best part.
Yeah.
It was good. And I remember, though, I got onto set, and they blanked the word out.
Yeah.
Because they do that anyway, when I get on set, like, in the lines, they blanked all the words out. But they blanked my one out. And I was worried that I weren't allowed to say it.
Amazing. Amazing. They need to have your one in there, surely. I love it.
Make the cut.
Definitely. I love it. So I understand you. There was a few scenes that jumped out to me that really felt real and free and loose and improvised. And one of them was the phone call with your character's nan, I guess, on that. So was there a lot of freedom there? And did you get to play about in different takes and do different things?
Yeah, that was one of my favourite bits to improv. Yeah, like you said, yeah, that was very good to play around with. And the thing is, I think that's realistic too, because like I said, like, on Christmas, on your birthday, sorry, Nan, if you're listening, but one of the last things you want to do. Oh, this is going to sound horrific. You touch your nan.
I completely understand you there. It's that thing where you have to ring people and say thank you for your presence. It's like on your actual birthday, you want to be enjoying your presence.
Yeah.
You don't want to be doing the immediate thank you bit. Yeah. We can get round to that. We can get round to that at some point, you know. You want to enjoy it first.
But I think it was worse for Ollie, of course, because he didn't like his present. He had Duplo. So it is really hard for him.
I love it. Well, how was it then? Again, it's always exciting to work on shows and to be part of it, but I guess you never really know how it's going to turn out. So how was it when you got to see How Am I Being Unreasonable turned out and see the reaction as well? I said, and specifically the reaction to your performance, because I said, you've got years of experience now, but this really felt like one where people really noticed you. And listed you as a standout. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that is, and it's that one in particular, Am I Being Unreasonable? I was really excited about that one. I think because of how unique it was, you don't get like that feeling a lot when there's such funny moments and it's such a funny show with such a dark meaning and story behind it.
Mm.
And it plays with your mind a lot, that show. And I think, it was really cleverly written by Daisy and Celine. And I feel absolutely honoured to be part of it.
I love it. And you mentioned the writing there. How do you find scripts and getting your head around scripts and characters? Because, again, I've only got a couple of years more experience in acting than you, but it can be overwhelming. It can be a lot to take in. So how do you find that? Again, it kind of balances in with schoolwork as well, because you are having to essentially study to learn your character and the lines.
Yeah. I mean, the script was okay, like I said, on that one, because it was so loose.
Yeah.
And on other things, yeah, it can be a bit, if you have a long block of stuff, it can be a bit daunting, but I just learned the night before. Yeah, I learned then. But, yeah.
I love it. And how do you find auditions? Because it's so often self-tapes these days, but again, that can be a part that a lot of actors aren't a fan of. I personally, I think they're great fun because you're getting to play about with characters and to mess about. So how do you find that area of the business?
I think I'm like you. I really enjoy it too, but I've always got that thing over my mind. Is like, obviously, like the casting directors and directors are watching. And, you know, I really want to, obviously, you always want the job, don't you? And so you've always got that in the back of your mind that this is this could be the one that gets you it or not, or don't get you it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And does it play on your mind a lot afterwards, or are you good at sending it off and moving on? Is it something that you sit there thinking, I wonder how that one's going to come through?
I mean, Mum always says, like, just forget about it now. But I don't. And,
It's easier said than done, isn't it? It's easier said than done.
But I'm always thinking about the smallest things I did. And I'm like, I should have done that. But And I'm happy I did that. That might look good.
It's always the way, though. It's those small things that, if you get the job, that's the thing that will be like, that's the reason you got it. If you don't get it, that's the thing that will play on your mind as, oh, that was it, I shouldn't have done that, when it normally isn't.
Well,
let's talk about Dodger, because Dodger is another one it's won the Kids BAFTAs and stuff, and there's the Christmas special about to come out as we speak. How was that to be part of? Because The Artful Dodger and Oliver and all that kind of thing is such a story about children, and it's such a story about playing and fun, with a level of darkness and mischief, of course. But so how was that to be part of? Because, again, another huge production.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel the family element on that one. I think, yeah. I don't know if it's because obviously I got a lot more people my age on there.
Yeah.
And on Am I the Unreasonable, we had the three of us. We had me, Ruben, and Noah, mm-hmm. who plays Gellin and Harry. So it's just us. But on Dodger, you had obviously the whole gang. You had Billy, Ellie Mae, Mila, Abby. It felt good to have a lot more people my age on set.
Mm, yeah, I can imagine. And that must be a lot of fun. And take the pressure off, because again, it's another cast that Christopher Eccleston, Tony Wade, Jane Horrocks, who's been on here, and so many more. It's another astounding ensemble cast.
Yeah.
So it must have been good to have other kids about. Do they kind of have any kind of group schooling type situations? Because there's so many kids there. It's kind of, it is your school away from school. Or do you kind of just do your own bits in your trailers?
See, because I'm not in it as much as them. So I was never there around the school time. So I always had the summer, which was great for me because I get enough for any tutoring. But they, before me, they actually do their tutoring. I'm not sure if they did it in groups, but I think I've done it. I've done it before when they've done it in a massive group. It's cool because it feels like an actual classroom because you've got all other people there around your age, and it feels good.
That's perfect. I love that. And have you kept in touch with a lot of the cast on that? Because again, it is an unusual thing to have so many around the same age as you to spend time with and to work with.
Yeah, I have kept in touch on Instagram. I've got them all, and did an occasional comment or whatever. And it's just nice. It's just nice to see them there, and it was so good. A few weeks ago, at the kids' BAFTAs, we all got to meet up again, and it was just lovely.
I love it. And how did you find that, going to the kids' BAFTAs and being part of something so big?
Oh, that was great. I mean, I remember Dad getting there, and I think he felt like the other one out because everyone had champagne and that. And my dad went, "Would it look alright if I get a beer?"
I love it. Yeah. That's perfect.
But yeah, it was surreal. It was to just say that I went to the kids' bathroom, it was crazy.
Yeah. And how is it going back to school after things like that? Because obviously you're going to be excited and want to talk about it, right?
Yeah. I put it on Instagram a lot, and so my friends have seen it from that.
Yeah.
But I think, to be honest, a lot of the time they just see me as Lenny. And I like that, I think it's good to have the separation. You've got the acting and that. And when you are usually around a lot of the older people. And then you've got your kid life. And I think that's important,
Yeah, I completely agree. So how do you find a social media? Because again, it's something that, because of the boom you've had this year, it's probably got a lot busier and a lot more focused. I know your parents help out and keep a good eye on it and make sure it's all in good nick. So yeah, how do you find using social media at the moment as your star is rising as such?
Yeah, I know obviously a lot of people have social media for other stuff, but I genuinely think that it is good to have to kind of sort of promote yourself. And I've been getting so much, that's why I get a lot of the comments on that, obviously, and it's lovely. And I think it's been a real tool to, promote myself. And
yeah, that's perfect. So I kind of want to ask what's ahead, because 2022 has been an amazing year for you, and I feel like it's all just the start. So what have you got to come?
I filmed last year I filmed a horror film.
How was that?
That was great. That's called The Queen Mary, and it's based on a real ship in, it's docked on Long Beach in California.
Yeah.
And it's expected to be haunted. And they obviously did a dark version, and how the different ghosts, because obviously I believe in ghosts. Because like I said, I don't know why.
A podcast on the supernatural.
I really love things like that. And but obviously there's certain, sometimes they give a ghost a name.
Yeah.
like they've named characters after real ghosts on that ship.
Right.
And so it was really good and it was really interesting, but unfortunately I didn't get to actually go out to the ship.
Right. Oh, that's a shame.
I know.
That's not fair. Well, I mean, are you a fan of horrors? Are you easily spooked? As I said, if you're a fan of ghosts and ghost stories, it must be a good thing.
Yeah, I am easily spooked. Yeah, I am. I prefer thrillers. So yeah. Like the kind of suspense.
Yeah.
But this one, it obviously has its horror element, like the blood and that and whatnot. But it has like a story. And I think sometimes with horror films, it's just like, it's just kill.
Scare after scare.
So I like thrillers. I really like them.
I love that. And have you got anything else coming up, or is that the main one at the moment?
Yeah, I did a Disney Plus project.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so that is cool. Oh yeah, of course I did the Enola Holmes 2. That just came out. I was in it.
Yeah, that just
split second, but it's so cool to be on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really big, again, another project that's just got an insane cast and a real mixture of ages and everything. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great one to be involved in. What have you got any ideas of what you'd like to do and what you'd like to be involved in? Because there's so many different genres and areas. Obviously the improvisation you got to do with Daisy, the kind of the mockumentary type world is full of that kind of thing. I'd love to see you. And Warwick Davis has done a lot of that with obviously Ricky Gervais and that. So
life's too short.
Is that an area you'd like to do? Is there anything else?
Yeah, I like you said, I really like mockumentaries, and I did.
Yeah.
I did the Tilda and Eve sketch.
Yes.
And that was sort of mockumentary style, and I love doing that because I like Ricky Gervais. I love The Office.
Yeah.
And I like the classic British awkward humour. And you sit there like, oh, but it's, I love things like that, yeah.
I love it. And how was that a Children in Need thing to do, the sketch? Because you got to basically boss around a load of really famous people.
I mean, it was a dream come true. I mean, I told my father off.
You told my father off.
Not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And what other kind of genres and films and stuff are you into as just a fan, as just someone watching, like in this week or two off for Christmas, what kind of thing are you going to be watching, do you think?
I really do like things, you know, like that, like Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Things like that, proper gritty, dark, things like that. And of course I love comedy, so like I watch The Office a lot. I watch it over and over again. I love that. And Life's Too Short with Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I love that one.
Yeah, that's fantastic. He's just amazing in everything. Do you think about how important the work you're doing is when it comes to representation? Because you've mentioned Warwick Davis a few times, and I remember him in Willow and all the different things he's done over the years. And it's, as you say, it's important for small people and whatnot to have people to look up to and representatives. And you're doing that now, particularly in a show like, I said, I keep going back to Am I Being Unreasonable, but a show that, you know, it's not like A Christmas Carol, where Tiny Tim, the whole point is that obviously he's got some issues, he's on crutches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is just a kid, and you're and it's almost unmentioned. So yeah, do you think about how important the work you're doing is for others?
Yeah, and like you said, I didn't have a lot of disabled actors to look up to. Like I had my three main ones, like Warwick Davies, Rowan Troyer, and I like Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
They were the ones I looked up to, but like I said, like that's only three.
Yeah.
And so there isn't many. I think to hopefully like become part of that. So like I want to show people that so I know, especially Mum, when I was younger, it was really hard, I guess, and I think everything seemed way worse than it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to see someone who's got the same disability or around the same, or even just a disability in general, doing that on the telly or whatever, anything, you know, doing sports, I think it gives that sense of hope.
Yeah, I think you're right. And as said, you've highlighted something I hadn't even thought of there. For those who have a disability and for the parents of those who have a disability, because it can be really, you need that at times to go, oh, right, actually, look at how well Lenny's doing and look at how well Warwick's doing and all of this kind of thing to go, right, actually, as you've said before, this isn't a restriction. It's just something that makes you you. It makes you stand out and makes you unique. So,
yeah.
I love that. Well, I'll wrap things up there. I appreciate you taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure. What have you got planned for the rest of the day? Is this the start of your Christmas holidays?
Yeah, my first day. My brother's at school. so I get a nice chill day. Yeah, I think just have a nice relax. And thank you for having me on here. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And as said, if you do end up doing any other podcasting stuff, reach out or get your mum to reach out or anything, and I'll happy to give any advice and help there.
I will. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Lenny. That's great.
Lovely to meet you.
And you.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was Mr. Lenny Rush. I hope you enjoyed that. If you missed Wednesday's episode with Ruth Madeley, or my Films of the Year episode at the start of the year, or my TV shows of the year, there's loads of good stuff to catch up on. Scroll into the archive and enjoy yourselves. Yeah. I'm going to be back next week with an astounding episode. An episode I think might get some column inches, but yeah, it's a good one, I promise you. So yeah, I'm gonna go. Until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.